them first, but I try to help Brother Bob and some of you other ones. And if I gave my life for that, it didn't make you better. It just made me dead. Right? But Christ died knowing that that life he had, which was eternal life, that life could come right back into Bob and make him, oh, God forbid, make him me, made manifest in another form. If I was the one that died,
right.
If my life could come back on you and make you better, that's why it's not that way. Well, Christ had to do that for us.
Amen.
So that he can enter into us and we'd be like him, not like each other.
Right.
All right. Hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself? And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. Now everybody see that word appointed? It is appointed unto men once to die. There is what? An appointment. Come on. Strong says to be reserved, to be laid away, laid by, reserved for one awaiting him. Appointed. There's an appointment that we must reach for men to die. But after this, the judgment. Now this is my take on all this. It is appointed unto men once to die. It didn't say every man's got to die. It's appointed unto man once to die. There's an appointment with death. Brother Brown even talks about that. There's an appointment with death that you and I have to meet. But there's somebody not going to make that appointment. Amen?
Amen.
You have an appointment to go to the doctor tomorrow. You can break that appointment and not go. Believe that God's healed you and not go. You can do that. So that's what I'm going to believe, that it's appointed unto man once to die, but I'm not going to that appointment. Okay? But after this, the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and to them that look for him, us, shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Now he appeared the first time physically. His second appearing was on the day of Pentecost to go into the heart of the believer to give them salvation, because there was no salvation. Look, we'll read this and then we'll quit. We'll stop early today. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they have not have ceased to be offered. In other words, went in one day, if the priest walks in one day and he just makes the sacrifice and God just forgives everybody and starts living in them, and no, that didn't happen. Because he had to come and release the life itself. Because that the worshiper once purged should have had no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sin every year. And right here's your answer. If anybody says anything, well, yeah, they were perfect in the Old Testament. No, they weren't. Or they had their sins taken away. No, they had their sins covered. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Not possible. Blood of bulls and goats can take away sins. All right, we'll stop right there. We'll go back to 10 next Sunday. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to be here. Good to have a...
Hi.
Good to have sit together with us today. She's not subbing for somebody. One day, I'm going to get it where her face won't turn red. I'll get it. I'm going to do it. One day.
Not going to happen.
Yes, it will. Yes.
That's all right, but what,
brother? About red face?
That
one
blush.
Red blush? Oh, yeah.
Okay. What do you say? Yeah. I don't remember. I never remember. She said that was the truth, you know.
Well, no. What he was saying was it used to be that women would blush and not even look at a man or blah blah blah. Now they just so bold they don't blush.
Right.
So anyway, you said that. It was, but it's not, he's, what he's saying was, you don't see it anymore.
Well, now, it's still good, but just don't see it.
Just don't see it much, yeah. All right. We're on Hebrews 9. We have been talking about the tabernacle and Melchizedek. And let's drop back to Hebrews 8. Verse 10, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their heart. Now remember, the first covenant was, you had a tabernacle, you had the three-room tabernacle, you had the outer court, inner court, and holy of holies. It was a physical building. All right, now what he's saying now is, the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, in other words, after the days that they did all these sacrifices, I will put my laws in their mind and write them in their hearts, because they weren't in their hearts in the Old Testament. They were just rituals. They were something you went by. It was do's and don'ts and all that. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And boy, I've been reading back in Chronicles and Kings, and man, they didn't do nothing, God said. They'd have one king that'd do good, and then they'd have four that would do evil. And then they would tear the groves down and they'd build them back up.
That's right.
And the problem I got with this whole thing is even the good kings didn't tear all the groves down.
Right. Yeah.
They still had the grove up on the hill. I don't know whether they were afraid to go up there and knock them down, but they always left that grove up on the top of the hill up there. And that was always a pain in Israel's side. Because the next king could come by and he'd have something to sacrifice with. He'd just bring them down here and start sacrificing to Moloch or whoever else the person is. But now remember, God's going to be their God. They're going to be the people of God. They still are the people of God, but not every one of them are. There's going to be 144,000 that's going to be the people of God coming up now. Right? Not all Israel. He was dealing with all Israel at this time, back in the Old Testament. But now you come into the New Testament, Paul's trying. Now remember what Paul's doing. Paul is dealing with Jews and Gentiles. He's trying to get the Jews to see sacrifices are not any good anymore. The temple's not any good anymore. There's a better thing, a new covenant, which is the New Testament, which Paul was trying to preach to them. This is the New Testament. This is a new thing where I'm going to put my law in your heart and not put the law in a book and put it in an ark. I think that's what we've come to now. I was talking to Brother Claude yesterday. We had a real good time talking, but people are still going by the law. They're still going by the, they've not moved into that new covenant. The new covenant is that you, we're going to be a God. We're going to be the God that God wanted. God wanted gods. Yeah. You're gods. Adam, first Adam, when he brought Adam, he said, you God of the earth, I'm God of heaven. He wants us to be gods. Well, they couldn't be gods in the Old Testament because he couldn't reside in their heart. The only way for you to be a God is for God to reside in your heart. That's why we've come to a position where we don't want to be like God. You know, you say, you hear the song, to be like Jesus, to be like Jesus, that's not good. The devil wants to be like him.
Right.
But if you are Jesus Christ made manifest in another form called a bride, then you'll act exactly the way God wants you to act.
Amen.
All right? And you don't have to read, this is going to hurt, you don't have to read the Bible to act good. Some people read the Bible to act good. Some people read the Bible to see the do's and don'ts. But to get the essence of it is for God to speak to you in your heart, in your mind.
Amen.
We'll talk about this afternoon. The great mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother. Now what happened was in the Old Testament. What happened in the Old Testament, they had the oracles. They had the commandments of God. And I would sit down as the father of the family, and I would teach Josh the do's and don'ts. Then when I got older and passed away, Josh would teach his children the do's and don'ts. Okay? And that's the way it passed. Now that's what he's talking about here. He's not talking about they shall not teach every man his neighbor. In other words, well, you don't teach, no. Really, today I'm not here to teach you. I'm just saying words. If God doesn't speak to you, we're going to get into that this afternoon, the voice of God. If you don't hear the voice of God, you're just listening to a man. And he can be wrong, but the voice of God can never, ever be wrong. Ever, ever. That's where we can put our faith in. Brother Branham says, faith's final resting place is in that word.
Amen.
All right? So whatever Brother Branham says that they say is contrary to the Bible, go back to the Bible.
Yeah.
He said what the Bible said. All right? And we, and hey, I have to put my faith on that. That was the voice of God. Now, it's not the voice of God when they tell you two souls, seven thunder, you can marry 25 people, you can do this, you can do that. Right? That's not the voice of God.
Right.
The voice of God's not even telling you you can stay home and listen to a tape.
Come on.
Because that's not the voice of God. That's not what it was saying. That's not, not what the Bible says.
Exactly.
All right? So, if Brother Ram said it, it's got to compare with the Bible.
That's right.
If it's not, it's not the voice of God. Pretty simple, huh? And you shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me. Why? God's going to speak personally now to each person.
Yes.
When he come on the day of Pentecost, and that's a great thing, you got Peter. Peter was the most contentious man in Jesus' life. He was always doing the wrong thing. He was always standing up and saying, I'll do this and I'll do that. But God thought so much of that, though, he used him on the day of Pentecost to preach the first sermon, and 3,000 people got saved. Now, try that. Okay? Peter said, that's what me and Brother Claude, read that sermon. Men and brethren, this same Jesus who you crucified, he throwed it right back on the people who you crucified. God has made both Lord and Christ. In other words, that's what pricked their hearts. They said, well, man, you're speaking as a God. Because remember, they spoke so much as a God, so they made Paul, they made one of them Mercury and one of them whatever, the God. They made them gods. They put gods in. That's what, well, they did the same thing with Brother Brown.
Exactly.
Now, he's not the God, but he's the Son of God. So are all of you, though. But I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor, like I said. In other words, I don't have to sit and, you know, Bob's dad sat and tell Bob the oracles of God, and then Bob tells him that when he gets mad, he tells him. No, we go and we listen to God ourselves, individually. That's what I said. You've got to hear the voice of God individually.
Amen.
All right? For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. All right, he's fixing to do away by Daniel 70 weeks, by the sixfold purpose, make an end of sin, reconciliation for iniquity, and all those things he's going to do to Israel, just like he does to us. All right, it's the total plan of redemption. In that he saith a new covenant, he hath made the first old. Now, we don't do away with the Old Testament because there's plenty of types and plenty of shadows, but you can't take them types all away. You can't get a prophet in the New Testament to go marry a prostitute and have children. But in the Old Testament, God told a prophet to go marry a prostitute and have children, and she left him and come back and they had some more kids. So that's, you can't go that far, see. But Brother Branham said, he said, a prophet knows when to start a type and when to end a type. So as Brother Branham gave it to us, being prophetic people, we can take a example in the Old Testament and take the type to where it needs to go and then stop, all right?
Yeah.
And some have it. Some took it on to, well, where did polygamy come from? It wasn't in the New Testament. It was in the Old, come from the Old Testament. And it was legal under that covenant. But this is a new covenant, all right? A new covenant he hath made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. What? The old temple. So here we go to Hebrews 9. Then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary, or a earthly sanctuary. Not worldly like we say worldly, all right? But that word there, if you look at it right there, it says an earthly sanctuary, which that's true. For there was a tabernacle made, the first wherein was the candlesticks and the table and the shewbread, which is called the sanctuary. So we know that's made, but you know what? That exactly types justification, sanctification, baptism, and Holy Ghost. That's the updated new covenant that we're under now. We're not under the old covenant. We're under the new testament, Jesus said, in my blood. Right? And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all. So you got your outer court, your inner court, and the Holy of Holies. Everybody got that?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the Ark of the Covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the gold pot that had manna and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant. And over it the cherubs of glory shadowed the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. In other words, it's gone. They can't find it. It's not anywhere. Remember, it's not in the temple. Somebody took it. Or in detail. Okay? Because really, under Paul's tenure, he's trying to get them away from that. He's trying to get them away from that box with all this stuff in it, you know. He's trying to get them away from that to say that it's now inside of you, not a piece of wood or but now at one time, you gotta take your time, though. At one time, that ark was coming from one city to the next city, and it almost fell off of the cart. And what would we do if we saw something holy getting ready to fall? We would immediately, well, you know what? God killed that man.
Right.
Right? God killed that man. Why? Because he was under the old covenant. It was do's and don'ts. Mm-hmm. Only the Levites could touch it.
Yeah.
He wasn't a Levite. And he was a good man. He was actually one of the two guys that brought it from this country to the next. So you got to watch, like I said, you got to watch your types. But the man touched it and should not have, and God killed him. God's the one who killed him because the Bible said God killed him.
Right.
Do you think
his
soul went to hell?
Huh? No, I don't think so. I think he had to die because of what was said. He said, God said, nobody touches this thing except the Levites. And even the Levites, remember, the Levites had to turn around. When they put the staves in, the Levites had to turn around to get the thing up and not look at it. It had to be, it was so holy. Why? Because God was teaching us that it come from that down to right now. Now the same thing as you look at Paul and the ones like that, you see Paul, that's kind of, the way God moves, you see Paul now, Paul being the Holy of Holies, man took garments off of Paul and gave them to people like we do prayer cloths, and God healed them. Well, to me, there's your tabernacle had moved into flesh, and now everybody can come boldly to that throne. Everybody can come and receive of that gift that Paul had, and that you and I have. Anybody with the Holy Ghost has got a gift.
Mm-hmm.
Amen? Now, when these things were thus ordained, the priests were always in the first tabernacle accomplishing the service of God. Outer court. Pretty much that you could go in that outer court, you know, because it's just a court, it's open. Alright? But into the second went the high priest alone, once every year, not without blood, which he offered first for himself. Remember, preacher has to be the first partaker, has to be the first one to get cleansed, and then everybody behind him. Alright? And for the errors of the people, or the sin. The Holy Ghost this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest. All right, the Holy Ghost did not come to go inside the people. All right? While as the first tabernacle was yet standing. You see what that means? That means that while the first tabernacle was standing, no one got the Holy Ghost in their soul.
Mm-hmm.
No one. While that tabernacle was standing there, God was at that tabernacle. He was in the tabernacle. He was telling them to do what to do. But when that tabernacle became God in human flesh, in Jesus Christ, He done away with that tabernacle. That tabernacle was done away with.
Right.
Amen? Why would you think the curtain was rent from top to bottom? They should have known, them Jews should have known. If it was rent from bottom to top, you could say, well, somebody walked in there and did it. But that thing was took from the very top. That thing's like 20-something feet high.
Yeah.
It ain't a little short. No, it's way up there. That thing comes down and goes all the way to the bottom, from the top to the bottom, showing, Brother Brown said, when that opened, of course, it's just a story. He said, when they opened that curtain up, said you could see Jesus Christ hanging on the cross. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but it would be a symbol of that, would be Christ on the cross and the veil being rent from top to bottom.
Right.
So the Holy Ghost did signify that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure. Something to look at.
Mm-hmm.
A figure for the time then present, Old Testament, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices. that could not make him that did the service perfect. There, if people would read the Bible, just read the Bible, that what does the Holy Ghost do? It makes you perfect inside. There was nothing in the Old Testament to make you perfect. That could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience. Inside him. The conscience. Which stood only in meats and drinks. I was reading about in Chronicles. When Solomon rebuilt the temple and brought the Holy of Holies in. The Bible said they sacrificed so many animals that it was the number became you couldn't number them anymore. Thousands of sacrifices they did. And then what did Solomon do? He sent them home with meat, bread, and wine. He sent everybody in Israel home with meat, bread, and wine. All right? So that was, but that was a symbol of the preachers. Today, Brother Dale is going to give you meat, bread, and wine. Okay? And he's going to send you home. Okay? And that's kind of the way it was, but they did it naturally. But today we're going to get our meat and our drink spiritually from the ministry. All right? Amen. Which stood only in meats and drinks and divers washing and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of Reformation. But Christ being come in high priest of good things to come by the greater and more perfect tabernacle. Now, you'd think that was really pretty out there that Solomon built this, and you ought to read what, how many tons of gold, tons of brass and silver. But you know where that's all at now, don't you? It's in the Vatican. Tons of stuff. The whole inside of the Holy of Holies was lined with gold. So when Titus comes in and tears that thing apart, and he just takes it all back to Mama Rome, right? Into the Vatican. But look, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, it was him in his flesh. I don't see why, that's what I keep over and over again. Your flesh don't sin. Your flesh is just holds your guts in. It holds you, it helps you to, what it does is, it keeps all that spiritual stuff inside of you. Right? That's what it does. The firing mechanism, thank you. It's the tabernacle. But look, a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building. Who was it? Jesus Christ standing there in human flesh, or not of this creation. Because neither by the blood of bulls and goats and calves. Because remember, those lives, those are just lives. That's just nature. That those lives just go away. And there's no way that that life can come back and make the person pure and make the person holy, right? No way. But one man, but by his own blood, what? The life is in the blood. That life that was in Jesus Christ did come back on the believer, and not just on him, but in him. But his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Now, show me in there where it says, but not for your body. Like we run into. Okay? Come on, people, good grief. If Jesus, if what he did can change his body, if he's inside of you, it's going to change your body. We just got to believe that.
Right.
Not believe something else. Not believe somebody else that this is just an old, and it is an old pest. You know why it's a pest house? You know why Brother Graham called it the pest house? Because it stinks. It's rotten. It's going to die if we don't take a body change. It's getting old.
Right.
Things hurt. They didn't hurt before.
Right.
Remember I said, we get up in shifts now. Feet get up. Body try to roll over and get to the end of the bed. We're used to Deanna, you know, she just, as soon as she wakes up, she's 100 degrees. And me and Jen still going, hold on. We'll be there in a minute. But that's why it's called a pest house. It's not called a pest house because you're living in it. Because if you're God in human flesh, That's God. Mm-hmm. And you know what? When he takes over, that's God's flesh.
Right.
Neither the blood of goats and calves, believest thou this? But by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood, right here's your answer to the look. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctify to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve a living God? There's your answer right there. Purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament. New Testament. That by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament, they which are called might receive the promise of an eternal inheritance. Come on. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. That's why they call it a New Testament. All right? Because the testator is one that brings something to you. All right? And he's got to die to make it a New Testament so he can bring it to you. I could probably give all my inheritance to Josh, but I'm still alive. I got to have something for me to live on. Okay, until then. But when I pass away, there is a new covenant made, and that covenant or that inheritance goes to your family members, or to your son. Used to in the Old Testament was a son. For a testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. That's why Jesus didn't save one soul while he was on earth. Not one. You say, oh, what about paradise? Well, you got to remember, that wasn't a new birth. That was a paradise. That was him imparting eternal life to the thief on the cross. What about her? No, I don't see it. It's not in the Bible. I don't see that. No. Even the woman at the well that Brother Branham talks about, the spark of eternal life, she didn't get eternal life standing there. If she did, she'd have got it before the disciples, and it would have broke the scripture. Right. Jesus Christ had to die before eternal life could go into somebody's soul. Don't care what anybody says. It's what the Bible says, okay? Brother Branham was giving us an example of how the spark got lit, but she didn't get eternal life right then. I promise you. The Bible said that.
I never thought about that.
Yes. That's why we come to church. That's why we have somebody to get up and teach.
That's right.
Because you can't get it on your own. For a testament is of force after men are dead. So it couldn't be a New Testament until the testator had died. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. Remember, the New Testament, remember that's what we've talked about. The New Testament didn't start in the book of Matthew, or Mark, or Luke, or John. That's not the New Testament. That's part of the Old Testament. The New Testament that Jesus is talking about is the book of Acts. When Peter stood up and said, this Jesus whom you've crucified, God has made him both Lord and Christ. And then when they were pricked in their heart, the 120 got the Holy Ghost. The New Testament started in the book of Acts. Acts 2 is where the New Testament started. Because look, otherwise, Paul's telling you this. Otherwise, it is of no strength while the testator liveth. Whereupon neither the First Testament was dedicated without blood. We know that was the blood of bulls and goats. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop, and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you. But now what did it do? It did not make them eternal people with God. Right. It did not make them born again believers. So they went right out and done just what I said. You read all of Kings, the First Kings, Second Kings, Chronicles. They sacrificed their kids to Moloch, and they didn't do nothing God told them to do, hardly. All right? Mm-hmm. saying, "This is the beloved testament which God hath enjoined."
What's enjoined?
I'm fixing to do that. Commanded. God hath commanded unto you. He did. Now see, those were the commandments. When God went to Mount Horeb, he gave the commandments to Moses. Moses brought them down. But remember what Brother Brown said. Brother Brown said they thought they got a book of rules. But they got Jesus Christ. Why? Because only somebody with Christ inside of them can live those Ten Commandments. Them people never did live the Ten Commandments. Sure, you had good people and you had bad people. You're always going to have that. But no one attained to eternal life in their soul in the Old Testament, except Adam, and he was imparted. It wasn't a new birth. He wasn't born wrong and then born right. That's why Jesus kept telling Nicodemus, "You must be born again." That was never spoken in the Old Testament. Because there's no way you can be born from your mother's womb by sexual desire and be clean.
Right.
But now Paul's telling us we can by the blood of Jesus Christ. Right? Saying, "This is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you," or commanded. "Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry." Now look. There was tons and millions and millions and millions of tons of blood, goat blood. Look, this thing didn't look nice. When they put Christ on the cross, Brother Ramsey, it looked like hamburger meat. Well, if you take Solomon's temple and you think, "Oh, this is such a clean place," they killed probably 100,000 animals. Have you ever? I know us as deer hunters, and one animal makes a lot of mess. Because you got to take the entrails out, you got to cut them in half, and you got to gut what we call gut them, and you got to it ain't pretty. Blood running everywhere, blood splattered all over everything. But that's what Christ looked like when he went to the cross. But he did that one time, so he didn't have to do that again. But what they did every year, they went back and did the same thing. They cleaned the place up, and they did it again. Cleaned the place up, and did it again. Because it didn't purify it here. Because look, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without shedding of blood is no remission. There had to be shedding of blood or forgiveness. And God did. He didn't take their sin completely away in the Old Testament. Brother Brown said He pushed it to Calvary. He covered it and pushed it to Calvary. But now watch. "It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these. But the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are the figures of the true." Like I said, they're examples. Alright? There is a candlestick that's an example. There's a shewbread that's examples. That's all our examples of what we need to do in our life. But it's not the thing that purified them. Alright? "For Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us, nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with the blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world." In other words, Christ didn't, as soon as Adam and Eve did what they did, Christ didn't have to be killed over and over all down through the... No, a substitute, which was the animals. The substitute, because the animal is the one that Satan entered and caused to fall. Right? So the animal had to be sacrificed. "For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself." So he came as the ultimate sacrifice. And him being the total ultimate sacrifice. If somebody come in here today, and of course I'd try to stop the bullet from